If you missed it live, don't worry. We save the best parts. This is the Drive Podcast.
Back at it on the Drive right here on WSJS, where we're taking your phone calls. Brendan Sorsby's entered the NFL supplement, or he's applied for the NFL's supplemental draft. We'll get into that here in just a minute. But right now, taking your phone calls on this topic, it's Doug in Winston-Salem. Doug, what you got?
Hi, Will. You're doing a fantastic job, first of all.
Thank you.
Hi, WD. Here, just hear me out. Hear me out.
Listen.
So, he didn't do anything wrong. I'm sure all these college athletes are betting on something. But he didn't affect the outcome of any game. And if Texas Tech really wanted to press the issue, they would have held it up in court. The season would have went by. He would have played. Now he's going to go to the NFL, and somebody's going to pick him up. He's a prototype quarterback. His kid's a good athlete. Somebody's going to pick him up. It's just a matter of what are you going to have to give to get him. But there's no doubt that in the next couple of days, somebody's going to snatch him right up. No doubt.
Do you have a team that you think makes the most sense?
Well, I mean, I guess if I were an owner of a team, and I know you're going to go, well, you're crazy. The Cleveland Browns, they need to get him. He's a better athlete. He's a better athlete than the two quarterbacks they have. No doubt about it. This kid, I don't know if you've seen any tape on this kid. This kid's a player.
A little bit, yeah.
And he would have torn the Big 12 up. So you can't be mad at Texas Tech. You would have done anybody would have done the same thing. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that need a quarterback. Miami needs a quarterback. The Jets need a quarterback. The Raiders need a quarterback. I mean, they just do. They need a quarterback. It's the most important position in football. So you got to have one that has knowledge and has football sense. This kid's got it. I mean, are you thinking that this kid's not going to get drafted, or are you thinking he'll flourish in the NFL, given the fact that he bet, got admitted to it, and I'm sure he'll take heat in the locker room for it. But beyond that, do you think this kid has an opportunity to shine in the NFL?
Doug in Winston-Salem, thanks so much for the call. I think he's got a chance to be a dude in the NFL. I really do. The real question that I'm curious to watch is there, once he gets to the NFL, whoever that's with, is there going to be repercussions for him? Like, is Roger Goodell going to try and make an example of him or try and teach him a lesson? Or, I mean, does he get suspended for his entire rookie year, a handful of games? Or does he wash his hands of this and just be like, I mean, he didn't do it under my watch, didn't do it in the NFL. I'm not even going to stir the pot any more than what's already been done. I don't know. But I do think once he starts to play, whatever that is, I think he's got a chance to be a dude in the NFL. Appreciate the call, Doug, in Winston-Salem. Jay Davis writes in, getting back to our conversation about getting back to our conversation on the Mount Rushmore of North Carolina sports. Jay Davis writes in, wait, WD, you didn't have MJ, Michael Jordan, on your list? You're kicked out of Tar Heel fandom. I mean, listen, Dean Smith, what do you want? Sorry that I put his coach on there. It's tough, man. It was a tough call. Like, I hate the fact that I couldn't put Roy on it. I wanted to put MJ on it, and I think on my rough draft I did. But then it's like, yeah, Dean Smith is the one that made that puppy turn. He's the one that made that happen. So it's like, and I wanted to have a little variety on there. So, but you have to have K on it. I just think you have to have Dale Earnhardt on it, who's one of the most iconic sports figures of all time. He is, although Richard Petty's a good one too. It's tough. It's a tough decision. I'm not kicked out of Tar Heel fandom, by the way, so you can take that one out of there. Let's get back to the matter at hand here. Brendan Sorsby. So, who is the biggest loser in this situation? Who is it? 336-777-1600. Would love to hear your thoughts on it. I have a 1A and a 1B for this. Number one, 1A, it's Texas Tech. To me, it's a no-brainer. Like, nobody wants to be in the same room with you right now. Can't even look at you. Don't want to be in the same arena. To the point where, like, volleyball games aren't getting played when they were supposed to play Michigan, apparently. Didn't happen. Oh, and volleyball. Sports outside of football are being affected by this. Now, to Doug's point, sure. Having a talent like Brendan Sorsby, it's like, yeah, if I'm in Texas Tech's position, I'm probably going to try and figure something out because they ain't the same without him. That they're not. But nonetheless, it still hurts their reputation. It does, to try and make this work the way they did. And to the point where they're kind of wearing a little bit of a scarlet letter right now in college sports, if you know that throwback. Other conferences are trying to, again, the volleyball example, like they're trying to not schedule you or unschedule games that they were supposed to play against you. The Big 12 yesterday coming out before, you know, we got the announcement about Brendan Sorsby and the NFL supplemental draft. The Big 12 was talking about repercussions and monetary restrictions, and they can't go to the Big 12 championship game. Like trying to get them out of here. So trying to make them pay the price. So the reputation takes a hit. But then, not only that, it's a double loss for Texas Tech. You know why? Because now your reputation's taking a hit, and guess what? You don't have Brendan Sorsby anymore, who is considered probably going to be one of the top quarterbacks in college football next year. You don't have him, so it's a double loss. Now you stink. It's not good. So that's 1A. That's 1A. Texas Tech is the ultimate loser in all of this. The NCAA is 1B, though. They're 1B because this is bigger than just this situation. This is just the latest. But when you look at how they've handled NIL and how that's been a train wreck a lot of the way, it's the wild, wild west. You look at that. And then, of course, the transfer portal, that's been wonky at times. The windows have been off. So that hasn't been handled great. And now you got this situation. It's just not been good. It's been dysfunctional. And the reason it's been dysfunctional, and the reason nobody should be shocked by any of this, there's no leadership. There's no commissioner or governing body. There's nobody to say, this is the law across the board, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, doesn't matter. This is the way it is. Because where do you not see dysfunction like this? The NFL, the NBA, actual pro sports. You don't get this level of dysfunction. It kind of, you know what it kind of reminds me of? All the things that the NCAA has really struggled with, NIL, transfer portal, this situation. It kind of reminds me of the WNBA when Caitlin Clark first came in, how they clearly, in different ways, were not ready for her star power, didn't really know how to handle it in a lot of different ways. That's kind of what this reminds me of, in a way. Let's go back to the phones. Dave and Clemens wants in on this conversation. Dave, who's the biggest loser?
What's up, WD? I wanted to take a swing at this. I don't think anybody's a loser. I don't think Texas Tech lost. I don't think that what Brendan Sorsby was doing was all that bad. If you look at over the history, like look at the Florida Gators with Urban Meyer. You'd mean to tell me Aaron Hernandez like wasn't doing Aaron Hernandez things in Gainesville? Of course he was, right? Mm-hmm. That whole team was trouble. And what would Urban do? He would suspend those dudes for a half. Mm. Go look at the current Georgia Bulldogs, right? Like, those are some geez, man. Those dudes do some bad stuff. And those dudes drink, they hit women, they beat kids. Not specifically, like, Adrian Peterson, he did do that, right? Mm-hmm. You look at Ray Rice in the NFL. Ray Rice was for the Baltimore Ravens, I always go back to him as the poster boy, because it was known what he did, right? But there was not video evidence of that for months. And the Ravens knew about it. The NFL knew about it. Nobody did anything. Ray Rice was still practicing. He was still part of the team. And then what happened? The video dropped. Mm. And when the video dropped, and it was like, oh, you know, when you read about something saying Ray Rice hit a girl versus the video of
you
Ray Rice
it.
Actually doing it, then it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Ray Rice is suspended. He's gone for good. And so they got caught with their pants down. And so, you know, Brendan Sorsby was straight up. And so, you know, like, I think there is problems all over, but I look at, like, the Ray Rice situations, the Florida Gator teams, the Georgia Bulldog teams, the dudes that kind of breed that culture in society of drinking and drugging and speeding and all that, I've got a bigger problem with that than what Texas Tech did. And I'm curious on your thoughts with that.
Let me ask you one more thing, though. Which NFL team do you think makes the most sense for him? Where would you like to see him land?
Sorsby, I don't know. That's a good question. If I were Sorsby, I would want to go to, like, a Baltimore Ravens-type team where there's maybe an older quarterback that could get injured, and then I know I'm going to get my shot with a decent team. So, yeah, you know, Lamar gets hurt. He's always out a couple games each year. So, yeah. If I'm Sorsby, I want to go somewhere like that where I still got a team around me of dudes as well.
Davin Clemens, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. In terms of what you said there about not thinking what he did was so bad, I mean, he was a red shirt. But the bottom line is, You just can't do it. Like, there are rules to go all Big Lebowski. Like, there's rules. And the players know this. But what this also brings to the forefront is, like, this probably happens so much more than what we know. Probably does. We just hadn't come to the surface yet. Because I was having a conversation last night with somebody about this. It's like, in theory, you might think, oh, well, this stuff is easier to track than ever because it's all done digitally and electronically. But you could know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy that does it for you and it never get traced. Could. There's still people that have questions about Ohtani and that whole situation with the translator and everything, placing the bets. Yeah. There's still people that aren't sold Ohtani wasn't behind all that and doing that. So, I get what you're trying to say, Dave, but at the end of the day, there are rules. And I'm fascinated to see what Roger Goodell is going to do with this, if anything.
He shouldn't do anything.
See, that's where I stand.
This is not his business.
It didn't happen in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the second he places a bet for or against organization he plays for, blacklist him. Get him out.
Well, yeah.
That. Repeat offender. He should have learned his lesson. But no, if Goodell is right, which he's pretty good at this stuff. Yeah, love him or hate him. He manages the league pretty well.
Yeah, he's one of the better maybe the best commissioner.
Yeah, he's not going to do anything. It's not his place to.
The bottom line is this. At the end of the day, Brendan Sorsby bet on himself. So this was a very on-brand decision. Oh, me. We're full of jokes around here. Jokesters. That's what we are. Shout out to the Canes last night. Taking over downtown Raleigh. Yeah! Oh, yeah! Argentina and Algeria tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. I'm getting a live shot of that on the TV here in the studio. But no, Canes taking over Teats last night in downtown Raleigh. They came home yesterday. The streets were lined with people. Then Jordan Stahl comes out of the bus in front of Teats, and had the cup. Here was Jordan Martinook. If you're watching on YouTube or X, Marty Party, who you may not recognize because he doesn't have a beard anymore, completely clean shaven. Yeah. Rock-a-bye Stanley, rocking the cup. So cool. I was actually having a little FOMO. I was like, man, I should have gone down there for that.
Ready?
Yes.
Punch up the audio for me now.
Strap in. Sports Talk hits overdrive now. Welcome to The Drive.
Back at it on The Drive right here on WSJS. Your chance to win some Evanescence tickets later this hour. I think the cue to call in will be pretty obvious. But let's talk some NBA draft. Because now that, you know, the finals, the season is in the books, that's what we turn our eyes to. We turn our eyes to free agency and off-season talk like that. What deals can be made, and we turn our attention to the NBA draft, which isn't far away. And Darren Peterson, apparently, is only wanting to work out for the Washington Wizards and nobody else. That's all he's doing. He's just going to meet with them. They do hold the number one pick in the draft. And according to Shams, He reportedly believes he's going number one overall and does not plan to meet with other teams. I don't think this is a great look because, well, for one, it's pretty clear that A.J. DeBonce is going to go number one to the Wizards. Now, Darren Peterson very could be number two, but this is continuing a pattern of very aloof behavior. Like, of course, you had the situation this year with Kansas where he missed like, what was it, 11, 12, whatever. So, something in that ballpark amount of games. Maybe our first glimpse of the college basketball version of load management. Hopefully that won't be followed and replicated and become a thing. Because that's one of the things that makes college basketball great is you don't see that. But you get Cooper Flagg every night. You get Cam Boozer every night. You get Caleb Wilson every night. So hopefully that's not a trend. Like, you had the number one team in the country at the time, an undefeated, I want to say 23-0 Arizona team coming into your building at Kansas. You come out, you warm up, and then you decide, I'm not feeling great. I'm going to sit.
Yeah, this is a whole nother issue, is Darren's attitude. Like, the season's 35 games, and you're sitting out for 11 of them?
It's not great. It's not. And to your point, NBA season's a lot longer than the college basketball season. If you're missing that amount of games in college, if you're supposed to be a workhorse as a rookie in the NBA, like that, I don't know. I think GMs are going to look at that and maybe think twice about it. I really do. And then you look at the fact that not only was that going on, I'm pretty sure he met with the media one time. He is the star of his team at Kansas, and he met with the media once. So instead, you had Bill Self sitting up there every game having to answer the questions, having to answer for this stuff, as opposed to Darren Peterson himself. That's not a great look, because you answer. You face the music in the NBA at the podium when you're the star player. It's what you're supposed to do. And now you got this, where he just decides, you know what, the heck with everybody else. Wizards are bust. I'm working out, I'm meeting with Washington, and that's it. It fits a little bit of a pattern of aloofness and potential attitude problems, maybe thinking a little too much of himself. And I just personally do not think that's a great look. 336-777-1600. What do you think of this? Do you think this is that big of a deal? Would love to hear from you. getting to the World Cup. Let's do that. Because I'm up. (336) 777-1600 That is the number to call. If you want in on Evanescence tickets, a chance to win Evanescence tickets. We will have another giveaway later next hour if you don't get in on this one, but call in quickly at 336-777-1600 to go see Evanescence 2 nights from now. Going to be coming to Charlotte. Call in, get those tickets. We will have another giveaway in hour number two if you don't get in this time. Now, where was I? How rude. Nah, I'm not going to. I'll never pass up an opportunity to hear Evanescence or that song. So that's, it was a welcome interruption. I appreciate it. World Cup action. USA, Australia, Friday. I want to say this game's at 3 o'clock. And this is for the group. Both these teams won their games. Australia beat Turkey. And it's Turkey. They're calling it Turkey or Turkey A or what? Have you heard this?
I think it's Turkey-a.
Yeah, they're it's Turkey. It's Turkey. Just like it's soccer, at least in this country, not football. We have a football. It's in the NFL. The Shield. That's football. But I digress. But the USA looked terrific against Paraguay on Friday night. Offensively, that's probably the best team USA has ever looked. You got pundits who have been following USA soccer for 30, 40-some years. They've seen quite a few World Cups, and they felt that was the best display, maybe the most talent Team USA has had ever. That's saying something. And apparently, there's a bit of a back and forth going on between USA and Australia. So this is for Group D. USA, they were favored to win Group D, according to sportsbooks. And ahead of this game on Friday, apparently Harry Kewell, who is in Australia, he represents Australia. Apparently, he fired back earlier at some slights that he thought were coming from an American pundit in the months since this or ahead of this thing. So, CBS Sports analyst Mike Grella, who is a former MLS player who never did feature for the U.S. men's national team. He said the Americans' match against the Aussies should be a, quote, layup. Australian fans took exception to that. So did Mike, or so did Kewell. He had a problem with that. And he had some quotes. He said, the USA is talking, because, I mean, I get it. The USA is kind of on their high horse right now, so I get it a little bit. The USA is talking like there's some unbelievable footballing or soccer nation. I would love to play their golden generation against our golden generation. It wouldn't even be a contest. I don't know what they're harping on about. I really don't. I should have done that in an Australian accent. I missed opportunity. So the moral of this story is, ahead of a match on Friday for Group D, it's a little bit of beef. There's a little bit of juice, and it's going to be fantastic. Terrific. Give us all the drama. Give us all the stories so people like me who talk into this thing can just let her rip.
Yeah, I'm not taking a country that loses a war to the emu seriously in a soccer match.
Down under. Yeah.
Shrimp on to Bobby.
Oh, jeez. Shout out to our Evanescence ticket winner.
Jim,
what's happening? Enjoy the show, Jim.
The Triad's longest running live sports talk show, The Drive. Just riding by, riding, riding. Will Dalton is helping you survive rush hour one hot take at a time.
WSJS, where it's one of our favorite segments each week. We compile some of the best clips going around, some of the best sound bites, and we bring them to you in a segment that we call Soundcheck.
Soundcheck.
Hey, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Plug in, turn up, and catch what everyone's talking about.
Okay. Let's start with the scene in New York City last night. Jimmy Fallon, the entire Knicks roster was on Fallon last night. It was such a cool moment when Jimmy brought him out. But then, see, Mike Brown, the head coach, he is a character. He's somebody who's very respected around the NBA. He's had a lot of different jobs. You know, took the Cavs to LeBron's first finals back in the day, was part of the Warriors in their run. Like, he's been on some teams, and so he's very respected, but he's also appreciated because of what a character and a personality he is. Like, he was talking about after, I think it was what, game four, I guess, talking about Fat Joe and his bling. And how, like, the lights were shining off of it and it was blinding him so he couldn't see the play. He's joking around about that. Had a great quote about how, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but a real success story is when you get knocked down a bunch of times, because he's been fired a number of times too, and you keep going. He said that's what a real success story is all about. So he's got a good personality on him, and I don't know how this who let the dogs out thing got going. He was doing this at the presser the other night after the Knicks won it, and he let the Fallon audience have it. Here they were.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Don't leave.
Who let the dogs out?
Don't leave.
And you can't see it because it's just a sound clip, hence the sound check segment here. But Kat, Jalen Brunson, they're sitting to his left, and they have like the embarrassed kid look with their dad, like just head in their hands, just embarrassed. But it was a funny scene last night on the Fallon set. Coming up next on Soundcheck. So Giannis, we're going to get into his situation a little bit more in depth in a minute, but Chris Broussard of FS1 on First Things First earlier today, they were talking about the Giannis situation, and the two destinations that seem the most likely, it's the Miami Heat and it's the Boston Celtics. And I was having this very similar thought last night about his fit on the Miami Heat, and I'll just let Chris Broussard kind of explain what I was thinking last night.
I just don't understand why Giannis, with all due respect to the Heat, wants to go to Miami. I mean, obviously it's a great place to live. It is a strong organization. Eric Spoelstra is a great coach. But it's going to essentially be Milwaukee South. Now, if they trade for him, they got Bam. So those are two bigs,
but that's it,
that don't shoot.
So that's an interesting point, because I was thinking last night, I'm like, okay, it's not a lateral move going from Milwaukee to Miami, but it ain't that, it's like Miami's not going to be just a top-tier contender like a Thunder, Spurs, Knicks. I mean, they're going to be in the discussion to, you know, be a threat in the East. I don't know, I mean, Giannis, Bam, you're going to have to give up Tyler Hero to get him. That much is clear. It's like you might have to give up Robinson too, who's a stud. I don't know. It's like, or Mitchell. Mitchell. Yeah, I think that's his name. Whoever number 45 is for the Heat that like let the Hornets have it in that play-in game. Luckily, the Hornets got it done. But he's probably going to be included in a deal. And so it's like, yeah, the Heat are going to be good because you got Giannis, you got Bam, but are they really like a top contender in the East? I'm not so sure about that.
Davion Mitchell?
Correct. Thank you. I knew it was. I knew the first name started with a D. I knew the last name was Mitchell, but I couldn't put it together. So that was Chris Broussard on Giannis. More on that situation a little bit later on. Lastly, the World Cup brings out some of the best and most entertaining people in the world. Like, iShow Speed has been... You roll your eyes. You roll your eyes. iShow Speed was putting on a show on Friday at SoFi.
Eh. Shout out Freddie. Freddie's my guy.
Freddie. So, this fan, some news reporter, Fox 4 Kickoff, that's what program this was, and this was, this is in Arlington. So in Arlington, this fan, they caught up with this fan and interviewed him, and this might be the best thing that you hear today.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Okay, how you doing?
My name is...
Okay.
Yeah, my name is Hirochika Nakakuki.
Oh, wow.
It's live?
Okay.
It's
yes,
live?
Yes, it's live.
Yeah.
How excited are you?
Yeah.
You are so excited, right? Japan, right?
Excuse me.
Okay.
I cannot speak English, but...
Okay.
But I'm excited!
I love it! Yeah, baby! Let's go!
Japan!
Japan, baby!
I don't have anything to add to that. That's been sound checked. That's the period right there. It's fantastic. Really is. What else is going to be fantastic is seeing who picks up Brendan Sorsby in this supplemental draft. Morgan, do you have any thoughts on this? Any options?
I do. I read for about an hour on this this morning, as this was the biggest news of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And discovered that there's one team that the media is talking about that I think will not take him.
Okay.
And on three or four of the sites I saw, Yahoo Sports, ESPN, CBS, and a few others, it was Carolina.
Really?
It was Carolina. And in my notes here, it says, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're going to stick with Bryce. But it said... They're comparing it to a Baker Mayfield of Cleveland situation where Carolina can absorb that dead cap hit with relative ease, was a quote from one of those sites, which is true. They can, but why would they? They have a solid quarterback room, right? The undrafted free agent, Haynes King, is a dog. He can play.
Yes.
And so is Kenny Pickett.
I like two gloves, Kenny.
I do too.
Two gloves, Kenny Pickett.
But if I had to pick
Eagles
a team,
fans probably don't, but that's a different discussion.
I'll give you three teams: Arizona, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh.
Indianapolis, huh?
They don't really have a guy right now.
You don't think Daniel Jones is a guy?
They don't. Maybe, but I don't know if he's going to be able to repeat it. He's so inconsistent year to year. I don't know what we're going to get from him.
So Jonathan Miller writes in, shout out to him, on X. So you can watch us on YouTube and X, by the way. Look that up. He would be the Arizona Cardinals' best quarterback right now. Well, do we think he would already be better than Jacoby Brissett with the experience that he has?
I think Jacoby Brissett has a better attitude.
Yeah, maybe. Probably better than Carson Beck.
100%.
Who else do they have over there? There's one more quarterback I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
In the car. Look that up if
Minshew.
You can. That's right. Gardner Minshew, the pride of ECU. So here's a list that I have. And 336-777-1600. If you have thoughts on the best NFL fit for Brendan Sorsby. So this supplemental draft is going to take place mid to late July. That's how that's going to work. And I think the best teams that could make the most sense right off the top, Jets. I say that because the Jets quietly actually had a pretty good offseason. They got some stuff. Now, it's still the Jets, so it's like, is that really going to matter? Because it's the Jets, after all. That has yet to be seen. But they do have some stuff there. They had a good draft. They've had a good offseason. It's where Kenyon Sadiq ended up. Breece Hall. They got some guys. And they have an adult in the room in Geno Smith, who I think still got a little something. I don't blame him for the Raiders situation. So bringing him in to learn and be a backup behind Geno. I mean, kind of like Kirk Cousins with Fernando Mendoza, like Geno Smith could mentor Brendan Sorsby. That could make sense. Arizona was another one I thought about. I don't know about the Pittsburgh thing. I guess in the sense of who's the guy after Aaron, but now you have Will Howard, you've got Drew Aller, and you got Brendan Sorsby.
They're not the answer. Those, Will Howard and Crybaby Drew are not the answer. So it's going to have to be Sorsby in the end if you want a decent quarterback that can learn under Aaron for a year.
Cleveland. Oh, this is a bonus clip. I forgot to get to this in soundcheck. It's perfect timing here. Cleveland, I don't think so. I don't think so. They got enough going on in their quarterback room. And this is the first NFL coach to go on the record about Brendan's situation. Here was Todd Monken either yesterday or the day before.
That's not even come across my desk. I don't think we're in a position to want to go down that road. That's my opinion. That's not Andrew's. And that I like the quarterbacks that we have. I think that's a slippery slope when you go down that, irrespective of talent, right? In terms of the situation he's put himself in. Like we all know what that is. He put himself in that situation. And we've seen in other sports with players that have been banned for life from playing in professional sports. I think that's a slippery slope to go down that road.
Yeah, he ain't going to Cleveland. Arizona, the Jets. I see the vision on Pittsburgh. Don't count out Tampa Bay either. Tampa Bay would be interesting because you got this contract situation going on with Baker. They're not close to a deal, according to Baker. And once training camp starts, it's all ball. It's all ball. So they might view him as a little bit of insurance if they can't figure it out with Baker.
I agree with that. I like Tampa Bay a lot with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Throw out one more. Atlanta. That's an interesting one because neither one of those quarterbacks have really proven themselves in over long term.
I don't know if I see Atlanta. If one starts, the other's going to be the backup. In my humble opinion. So, Jonathan Miller writes in, quarterbacks go to the Jets to find out what rock bottom got planned next. Decent pay, though. Yeah. Pretty good job. Good gig.
Places, everyone.
Come on, places, please. We're ready.
Turning Rush Hour into must-hear sports talk radio. This is The Drive.
Back at it on The Drive, right here on WSJS. Wrapping up the hour to try and make a little money. And we do that each day in Dalton's Dollars.
Stack it up, stack, stack, gotta stack it up. Get the money on the time now.
It's time to cash in. Welcome to Dalton's Dollars.
Show me the money!
Show me the money.
Breaking down the board and building the bankroll.
All right, we got four. Got four on the card tonight. We're three games under 500 so far for the summer bets. Had a rough weekend. Took a little hiatus yesterday. So we sit at 33 and 36 for our summer bets. And we got to get back on the right side of things. So, little baseball, little soccer in terms of the baseball. Let's start with the Phillies. The Phillies hosting the Miami Marlins, who are not very good, but Phillies aren't great either. Looking at what the Phillies have done lately. Philadelphia, they got a win, a shutout win over Miami yesterday, 7-0. Took a shutout loss against the Brewers, 4-0 on Sunday. So they've been, in fact, they've got this pattern. They, going back to June 8th, they win, they lose, they win, they lose, they win, they lose, they win. That's been the pattern so far. I think they break the pattern. I'm going to take the Phillies money line against the Miami Marlins tonight.
Show me the money!
Going to do that. And then the New York Yankees taking on the Chicago White Sox. And that dude, that beast, Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's on the mound tonight. So for starters, because, I mean, even if he wasn't on the mound, I'd still take this. Yankees money line against the White Sox.
Show me the money!
Mm-hmm. Let's do that. In terms of Gerrit Cole, we've had some pretty good success betting his over on strikeouts. I think tonight we're going to go six or more, minus 118 odds.
Show me the money!
That's what we're going to do. Lastly, Argentina, big soccer game match tonight. Lionel Messi getting in on the action. It's Argentina. It's Algeria. Quite frankly, I think Argentina wins this game, but the money line's not great value, minus 240. So what I'm going to do instead, I'm going to look at the totals, and I'm going to go at minus 104 odds over 2.5 goals.
Show me the money!
So that's what we got. Four on the card tonight, trying to get back on the right side of things. Taking the Phillies money line against the Marlins, taking the Yankees money line against the White Sox, taking Gerrit Cole to have six or more strikeouts against said White Sox, and taking the over, or I'm creating my own over here. That's not the actual over. I'm just going to do over 2.5 goals at minus 104 odds between Argentina and Algeria. Spend Dalton's dollars. I feel pretty good about that card. I do. I feel like I could get three of those four. Little nervous about the Argentina over, just because you never really know. That could be a 2-0, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. By the way, if you weren't able to get in on Evanescence, we're going to have another giveaway for that in hour number two of the program. Also, Sunnyside Wins. WSJS.com is the place to go. Because we have Darius Rucker tickets up there for you guys. He's coming to White Oak Amphitheater on Thursday night this week, so you got to hurry. Darius Rucker, we got him. You got Chris Stapleton tickets up there for June 20th later this week. He's coming to Bank of America Stadium. Craig Morgan and Neil McCoy. Treaty Oak Revival. We got a lot of tickets for you, but get in on those Stapleton and Darius Rucker tickets. Just go to WSJS.com and register to win.
You're on the Triad's only live sports talk show, The Drive.
You ain't on my level. Can't you see I'm just too swagged out?
We say what you're yelling at your radio.
Back at it on The Drive, right here on WSJS, where we welcome in David Glenn of the NC Sports Network. First time we've gotten to chat since the Hurricanes got it done. They took it the distance, winning three straight games. DG, how we doing?
I'm doing extra well. Well, it's always fun to be with you and always fun to be talking about championships.
It is. So you've been covering North Carolina sports for a long time. You've been a Caniac for a long time. Those things have been kind of hand in hand with you. What type of emotions, what was your reaction? What were you feeling this weekend when Carolina finally got it done?
Well, I was happy for Rod Brindamore, a guy I've known for a long time and somebody that I consider a friend, because even though he did have a Stanley Cup as a player, famously 20 years ago with the Carolina Hurricanes. He had a lot of doubters and a lot of skeptics and a lot of folks who said his system wouldn't do this, or his system wouldn't attract enough high-quality players, or his system could win during the regular season but not in the postseason. And even some of the critics liked Rod Brind'Amour as a guy but took shots at him as a head coach. So I was very happy for Rod. But I felt like Rod because I was also, just as he deflected, I mean, I was happy for those guys, man. This is an 8-year journey. And Jordan Staal has been here even longer than that. But Tom Dundon, the owner, deserves credit. Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach, hired in 2018, same year Tom Dundon bought the team, deserves credit. Eric Tolsky, the GM, deserves credit. But you got to start with those 20 guys who wear the uniform heading into a given game. And we could write a little individual chapter on any one of those 20. It took all of them to dominate the way they did. And in the 40 years of this format for the NHL playoffs, nobody has ever gone 16-3 until the 2026 Carolina Hurricanes. So people can doubt their path to get there or say there wasn't enough competition. They can say whatever they want. The Canes can also say, A, they're Stanley Cup champions, and B, nobody else won the cup in this format while losing only 3 games over 4 series, and that makes it an extra special accomplishment.
David Glenn with us here on WSJS from the NC Sports Network. So Jordan Staal, it was very cool to watch his story play out over these playoffs and over the finals, and, you know, talking about the Rod Brind'Amour piece of it. You know, Rod, if anybody knew what could relate to Jordan Staal, it was Rod because of where he was at that point in his career back in the day. And it took him 14 years with the Canes, but he finally got another title, won the one with the Penguins in 09. So being the oldest player on this team, and I don't know what the future holds for him, but he is the captain. When Jordan Staal is done playing, DG, who do you think would be the best next captain? Who comes to mind when you're thinking about the next captain of the Carolina Hurricanes?
To me, no doubt about it, it's Sebastian Aho. Mm. He already wears the A. He's one of the guys who wears the A for the alternate captain. He's also a grinder. I mean, he is the highest paid Hurricane player. He is probably the most skilled, talented, all-star caliber Hurricanes player. But he's tough, man. He's not the biggest guy. But a year ago, he wrote essentially to Kaniac Nation saying, I'm not leaving this place until we win a Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
it's not easy to stick your neck out that way. He's been here for the full 8 years of Rod Brind'Amour and Tom Dundon. He has won some big things internationally with his native Finland, but he could have left the Carolina Hurricanes when he was a free agent. He chose to stay here. He wanted to stay here. He loved this market. He loved this fan base. He loved his coach, Rod Brind'Amour. I think at this point, other than Rod Brind'Amour and Jordan Staal, nobody bleeds the red and black of the Hurricanes any more than Sebastian Aho does. And he was also on the list of people that I was happy for because he heard a lot about what he was not doing during the playoffs. He's the leading scorer much of the last 8 years for this franchise, and he wasn't scoring as much. Well, he did a little bit of everything while being frustrated offensively. But that's the answer to the question. As much as I respect many other guys on that team, Sebastian Aho should be the next to wear the C.
I'm curious where you land on this because, you know, it was a cool scene watching Rod Brind'Amour give the trophy a bear hug and then lift it up the other night. And, you know, you have the pictures side by side, him lifting it in 06, him lifting it in 26. And he's done it as a player and as a coach. And it's hard to find coaches that are more beloved by his players, by the fan base, the city he represents, than Rod Brind'Amour. And now that he's done this and it's come full circle, I'm curious, is Rod Brind'Amour on your North Carolina sports Mount Rushmore? Because he's on mine. I go Rod, Dale Earnhardt, Dean Smith, and Coach K. That's my list. I'm curious, who's on yours?
Do you have rules? Like, they didn't have to be born here or anything like that?
No,
right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Mine is going to overlap with yours.
Okay.
And I have to admit freely, I take my objectivity as a journalist in 1,000, if not 1,000,000 contexts very seriously. With my Rod Brind'Amour vote, I am not an objective person. I have known him since 2000. We have Philadelphia roots in different ways. I've interviewed him probably more than 100 times. I know his wife and his children and his father, mother-in-law and father-in-law. Like, I'm biased, period. But I would actually add, and I respect you going, we're such a NASCAR state. I respect you contemplating that part. But I don't think you can have maybe the greatest of all time in one of America's most popular sports, Michael Jordan, and not put him on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
So I've got MJ up there. Mike Krzyzewski is the winningest coach in the history of college basketball. We are the center of the college basketball universe. I'd have to put Coach K on there. For personal but also professional reasons, I would put Rod Brind'Amour on there. And you know, because football is America's most popular sport, and because we have a guy here who was born here, high school here, college here, and NFL here, in Julius Peppers, who's a member of the Hall of Fame and maybe the greatest defensive end in the history of the sport, I could argue Julius Peppers could be the fourth on mine. But I would contemplate either Richard Petty or Dale Earnhardt Sr. for
I didn't even think about that.
Spot, right? I mean, Richard Petty's the king. He's just, you know, part of my vote, if I had to defend, like, you know, the lawyer in me in court for Rod, part of the vote for the king, Richard Petty, is that he's kind of the roots of why we became the most famous NASCAR state in the country, right? He's all North Carolina, and fast forward 100 years almost, and almost every NASCAR team is based right here in our state, right? We are the center of the NASCAR universe, just like we're the center of the college basketball universe. But part of my vote for Rod would be, when you are personally responsible for whether a sport dies on the vine in the state of North Carolina because they weren't winning enough versus what we have now, where I think the Canes maybe do as good a job of bringing fan bases, you know, that are splintered with college sports all together under the same umbrella. Would the Carolina Hurricanes still be here if Rod Brind'Amour didn't lead the 06 Cup as a player and the 2026 Cup as a head coach? I'm not 100% sure the answer to that is yes. So if you were trying to justify Rod as one of the four faces on that Mount Rushmore of North Carolina sports, that would be a central part of my argument.
David Glenn with us here of the NC Sports Network. It's a very difficult conversation to have because we've got some giants here. We didn't even mention Roy. I guess you could, like my producer Morgan, put Cam Newton on his. Like, you could have that debate potentially, and how polarizing he is. Like, we got options, DJ. We really do.
We do. You can go far and wide. I mean, Mia Hamm would represent one of the most famous sports in the world, soccer. Yeah. And she's one of the most famous women's athletes in American history. And she, of course, attended the University of North Carolina. We could go in a lot of different directions. There are some legendary baseball players who are in the Hall of Fame, you know, Catfish Hunter and many, many others. I mean, just in basketball, think about our list. It's crazy. We got Chris Paul and Steph Curry and Michael Jordan and David Thompson, and it's an embarrassment of riches in certain sports, and it is hard to squeeze so much greatness into just four slots.
Let's get to the College World Series very quickly, because Carolina, you know, I was joking the other day, I felt like when I was in Little League as a kid, like, seemed like every year Carolina was in the College World Series, but they never could get it done. They couldn't punch it in, and they've been to, this is the 13th appearance that overall, 11th this century, I believe, and been to two of the last three under Scott Forbes. They've got a great shot. They've got a great pitching staff. What would finally getting this title that they don't have yet, what would that mean for Carolina?
It's a big deal, because you're either branded a national championship program or you're not, right? In our state, in men's basketball, as much as most of us love that sport, Carolina is known as a six-time NCAA champion. Duke's known as a five-time NCAA champion. NC State's known as a two-time NCAA champion. And everybody else, as much as we love Wake Forest and, you know, other programs, they're not branded as national champions in that sport. And Carolina's been knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking at the, on the door. At the University of North Carolina, there are 28 varsity sports. Mm-hmm. Eight of them have won national champ, at least one national championship, obviously including men's basketball, but seven other sports. Of the other 20 that are not yet first-time national champions, the one that's been knocking on the door the most is UNC baseball. I mean, they have been, Will, to nine of the last 20 College World Series. Mm. Nobody has been to more of the last 20. I think Florida also has been to nine. So it's a big deal. It would, Scott Forbes, a relatively young guy, he would be able to recruit to the fact he already has a nice pitch. You know, they've been to nine of the last 20, but it does take the pitch to the next level, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Florida Gators weren't a national championship men's basketball program, and then Billy Donovan made them that, right? Years ago?
That's
you
right.
You think Todd Golden benefited from that perception many years later? Heck yeah. Heck yeah, he did. So it would be a big deal, even at a place some call the University of National Champions. That school's won more than 50 if you add all of them from the eight different sports. But they'd love one more. And I think, obviously, they've put themselves in great position to do it because much of Omaha is about every game you lose forces you to play more games and stress out your pitching staff. So they've won their first game, won their second game. If they can beat West Virginia in the next game, rather than having to play another before getting to the best of three championship series, you would have all the dominoes, all the planets aligned perfectly, no matter whether you got an Oklahoma or a Georgia or a Texas from the other side of the bracket.
David Glenn, check out his stuff at the NC Sports Network. They do an incredible job over there. We appreciate you coming on to help us celebrate the Hurricanes, and we'll talk to you again next week, DG.
Sounds good, my friend. Keep up the good work.
There he goes, David Glenn of the NC Sports Network. Whoa! Oh! Startled. 336-777-1600. It's our second pair. We gave one away in the first hour. It's our second pair of tickets. It's the last one we have left to go see Evanescence. Going to be in Charlotte at True Liant Amphitheater two nights from now. 336-777-1600 for a chance to win Evanescence tickets.